for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
With time on your Friday, 5:01 here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith back with you. I'm live today out here at National Law Rex on a beautiful afternoon in East Tennessee, breaking things down to levels beyond scientific. We have taken some sad calls. We've taken some mad calls. We've taken some glad calls. We're going to go open lines the rest of the hour. If you want to jump in, take a shot now. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 546-8200. Before your phone calls, we send things back to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios for Marcus Young's Top 5 at 5. Marcus?
Thank you, Russell. At number one, Tennessee Vols baseball starts this evening at 6:30 p.m. on the SEC Network Plus as they take on number 21 Texas A&M. They will also be facing off in the series on Saturday and Sunday, 12 and 1 o'clock respectively, and it will also be ESPN2 and ESPN respectively.
Dolander trying to get it going. He has given up 7 runs in the first inning so far this year. He is 3-2, 3.90 ERA, 45 strikeouts and 27.2 innings pitched. Be watching that first inning. Can Dolander get through the first tonight without any damage? I think that's going to be very telling for Tennessee baseball this weekend. We got to set the tone.
At number two, Tennessee Lady Vols will be taking on Virginia Tech tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. They will be playing on ESPN2 at Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington. The number four Lady Vols will be taking on the number one seed Virginia Tech, who they faced earlier in the season. It was a close game, hoping to exact revenge tomorrow.
Are they the Lady Hokies? Always throws me off. Like, you want to be the No. Lady Hokies. Like, you don't want to be the Lady Hogs if you're Arkansas.
No, they're just the Virginia Tech Hokies.
They don't do the lady thing.
No. Right.
Maybe they're not ladies.
We don't know.
Not very ladylike.
Hey, you know, we still have some opportunity for positive momentum in basketball, Russ.
There you go, Marcus. That's the spirit, young man.
At number three, an NFL memo went out yesterday as a non-agent might be contacting teams in behalf of Lamar Jackson.
What's the guy's name? Is Ken something?
Francis. Ken Francis.
So is this somebody who hasn't gone through the NFL's
Just somebody messing around. It's just somebody goofing.
Oh.
Well, so the Lamar Jackson offseason saga will take another unexpected turn. The involvement of a business partner on fitness equipment is who Ken Francis is. He actually does know Lamar Jackson, but not in the same way as you would expect. Under league rules, teams can speak only with Jackson because he does not have an agent. Ken Francis has not been properly certified.
Yeah, you have to. That's what I was saying. You have to go. There's a whole process you have to go through with the NFL to get certified to be able to negotiate with the team. So
the guy's name actually is Ken Francis.
Yeah.
I thought it was somebody just playing a joke. That's kind of disappointing. I actually thought we had another Ron Mexico situation with a fake name.
No,
there.
This is more that, you know, Lamar. They're going to make him deal. He doesn't have an agent, so he's having to do it on his own, and it's making it real easy on the NFL because I feel like there's some collusion going on, and I think it's in response to that stupid contract that Jimmy Coaching Shorts gave Deshaun Watson. You know, the other NFL teams have got to be hating that guy for doing that last year because Lamar wants a fully guaranteed contract like Deshaun got.
So Francis actually said that he does not speak for Lamar as he was talking to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. Jackson also posted on Twitter saying, quote tweeting someone posting the memo the NFL released and said, "Stop lying. That man never tried to negotiate for me." So it's weird, like, why the NFL would post a memo if the negotiations weren't potentially trying to happen. So it's kind of a he said, she said type of situation, but I don't know.
Man, it's a mess.
Absolutely. At number four, Ferris State's head coach Tony Anise has been suspended for a future playoff game after a cigar celebration.
I saw this.
Yep.
How is this any different from what Tennessee and Alabama players do after the third Saturday in October?
Yeah, I'm not sure. A pair of Ferris State players were seen on a video smoking cigars after their victory over Colorado School of Mines on December 17th. According to Josh Van Dyke of MLive.com, the NCAA announced that Anise will be suspended for one future playoff game following the rules violation. Part of the issue is that the game was held at McKinley ISD Stadium, which is on a tobacco-free high school campus in McKinney, Texas. So maybe that's part of it.
It's really good that the NCAA, you know, we've had an investigation into Tennessee's football program that's stretching into its third year now. But it's good that they found time to throw the book at Ferris State for two guys smoking cigars. It's really good that they were able to get to the bottom of this controversial incident and send a strong message to the rest of the college athletics world. That's good on the NCAA. Good work.
I mean, with all the problems going on right now, they're going to suspend this guy for a couple of kids smoking a cigar after a football game.
I know, it's outrageous. Especially after you hear number five. Number five, could this be the end of the rainbow? As a California bill is targeting Skittles, Russell. Skittles.
Now, what the hell did Skittles do to anybody?
Well, they've got a substance in them, right, that's bad for you, some sort of metallic substance
in
the coating?
Well, the snacks with, quote, toxic chemicals. We don't want to say for sure yet. We still have to go through the legality of everything. But, yeah, California Assembly member Jesse Gabriel is trying to propose
In relation to Christopher?
I don't think so. We could find out. Last month, he introduced AB 418, which would ban the sale of manufacture and distribution, of foods containing chemicals that have been linked to health concerns, including decreased immune response, hyperactivity in children, and potential risk of cancer. Along with that, the chemicals currently banned in the European Union are found in numerous snacks, including Skittles, Ding Dongs, and a host of other food items such as that.
Well, no, I'm going to need that list because I want to make sure I want to see how many of these things that I ingest daily.
All of them, probably.
I mean, you mentioned Ding Dongs.
You big Ding Dong guy?
I like the King. What were they called?
Those are the chocolate cakes with the icing inside, right?
Well, no, they're cream. They've got like the cream filled, and it's chocolate cake, and then they're dipped in like some kind of chocolate.
I will point out the Ding Dongs that they're talking about specifically have some red sprinkles inside it.
Oh, I don't eat those.
Yeah, so it may be just specific to that, whatever the sprinkle is.
I mean, do you have a list there?
That was the only two they listed. I went through and looked at the rest. I could try to find the list for you. So that we are fully up to date.
Ding Dongs are delicious, man. I'm looking those up. Yeah, those are great. Also a big fan of the Swiss rolls.
Oh, yeah, those are good.
Swiss rolls are delicious.
The simple Little Debbie's Devil Square cakes.
But look, man, if you're buying a box of Ding Dongs or Twinkies or something like that,
you ain't worried about no.
You know what you're getting, okay? You know this stuff is bad for you. Nobody's buying this and like, well, this is a sensible snack right here. I'll just have two of these bad boys and everything will be just fine. You know what you're doing. You're putting that stuff in your body, bro.
Yeah.
So I had once gone into a Walmart bathroom and it was completely empty. I go in there just to change because I was swapping over jobs. Someone had left a box of Ding Dongs sitting next to the toilet. And there was wrapping all over the floor. So someone was sitting in that bathroom at Walmart eating Ding Dongs.
I have so many questions right now.
I was swapping jobs. Like,
do you think somebody like just picked those up on a shelf and said, I'm just going to go in the bathroom and eat these and not pay for them?
Yeah, yes. 100%. Yeah. And I immediately went to the other bathroom in the Walmart because I was like, I don't want someone to accuse me of doing this.
Yeah. Somebody, Marcus, we got framed in the great Ding Dong caper of 2023.
Did you work at the Walmart?
No, I had stopped on the way to. So
this is even weirder now, Marcus.
No, I worked.
Who in the hell goes to Walmart to change clothes between jobs?
I had 20 minutes in between jobs, and one had a uniform, one did not. So on my way, quickly we stopped at the Walmart that was like right by my first job.
Changing your car.
I didn't want to be seen.
Why didn't you just change at the first job?
Yeah, in the bathroom at the first job.
Because my spare clothes were in my car, and I didn't want to have to go out, waste time to grab it and bring it
no,
in.
No, you'd rather drive to a Walmart.
It was right next to it. It was right next to it.
You're so weird, dude.
I'm not weird.
This is weirder than anything I've ever come out with. Go ahead, Russ.
The Walmart was closer than the job you were at. It's the only way it would have saved time.
Well, I was just like on the way, yeah. Like I was, you know.
Yeah, but you're already there. Like, you just walk out to your car, get the stuff, go back inside, change.
Either that or when you showed up at your second job, just take your new outfit in with you, change, and then come out and be ready to go.
All right, well, I didn't expect the Spanish Inquisition on me where I'm changing
clothes.
Well, it's not
the Spanish Inquisition.
Spanish Inquisition.
It's just damn common sense, son.
Did Bear get the Monty Python reference?
I don't know if he did.
I was talking over you. What'd you say?
I just think that this is all an elaborate ruse to cover up the fact that Marcus was the one who did.
No, yeah. No, yeah. No.
You ate 10 out of 12, and you got the hell
listen,
out of there.
Listen, if I'm going to eat.
Hey, look, I mean, it's all right. We've all done stuff at one point or another. I mean, I admitted that I may or may not have looted during the blizzard of 93 at a local grocery store.
If I'm going to eat Ding Dong sadly alone, I'm just going to do it in my car. There's no reason to do it in a Walmart bathroom.
I usually do it at home late at night, watching TV. It's like, damn, I ate 10 out of 12. What am I doing with my life?
Whoever did this, by the way, they only ate 3 of the packages, so they showed some restraint. So
showed some restraint. They were shoplifting.
Thank you, Mark.
Russ, do you ever eat anything in the store?
No.
Are any of you guys one of those people that will start drinking your soda before you've purchased it when you're walking around the store?
Not at a grocery store, if I'm like, say, at Weigel's or something and I go get a fountain drink.
A fountain drink is different. I think you have to take a swig of that. But
yeah, but if that damn line's long enough for us, I'll
crack that thing open before you take it up there and pay for it. It's like, really? You can't wait until you get in your car, you got to drink it right then and there. You're that thirsty.
I don't normally buy the cold bottled drinks at the grocery store just because I've found that not a lot of people buy those. And a lot of times you're buying something that's been in that fridge for a long, long time. Well, my Food City, they're devilish down there. They have added the Hostess baked goods. They're like right by where you stand there in line.
Marcus, thank you. We appreciate it. The Top 5 at 5 brought to you by National Law Rex, where I am for another 50 minutes or so breaking things down if you want to come out and commiserate this afternoon as Tennessee's basketball season comes to an unfortunate end a little bit earlier than we would have liked. But Florida Atlantic besting the Volunteers last night in New York City, and for Tennessee, we're waiting on Juke Harris, shooting guard out of North Carolina, to announce his decision. Rob Lewis over at VolQuest posted right before we came on the air, he felt like it was trending towards Wake Forest.
Forbesy.
So, add insult to injury, it looks like Tennessee might be losing a shooting top 100 shooting guard prospect to Wake Forest, of all schools.
Well, I mean, like other schools now that we're going up against for like top 100 guards, I mean, you know, they're going to be pointing at the fact that, well, I go to Tennessee, you're definitely not going to see the court until your second year. Look at all these top 100 guys they have, and they don't get to play their freshman year. You want to play immediately, you better come here.
Yeah, but Phillips played immediately. Kennedy Chandler played immediately. Springer and Keon played immediately. And the first three of those guys all went to the NBA. So any salesman worth his salt can counteract that easily. How many guys has Wake Forest put in the NBA lately?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I don't have the answer. I can find out.
It's a good point, Russ.
So Tennessee has a couple of roster spots to fill, but Rick Barnes, was it an 18-2 run? He let it get 18-2 before he called that timeout. He let them score 18 points. 18-2 was the run.
Yeah.
Why won't he call time? I mean, it's that happens all the time.
That's
like it happened last year against Michigan.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It happened last week against Louisiana. We almost let that one get away from us.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right there, Russ.
And
yeah.
I go back to the, you know, is the team tired of these late tips? Because that run, the Louisiana run, happened about the same time in the game that the FAU run happened. And Louisiana just wasn't good enough to finish the deal on Tennessee. But it's kind of eerily similar how those games played out.
I mean, all these games, like, they follow a pattern when with, you know, Barnes teams and they get knocked out.
I mean, you got those timeouts, man. Just you got to quell the run. You got to if you take a timeout, especially if, you know, Dusty May did that late, I want to say in the first half, where he took a timeout right before the 4-minute mark, and you've got the TV timeout, and they'll say, well, I want to save the timeouts for later in the game. We got the TV timeout coming out. But a smart coach, if you're getting blitzed like we were,
mm-hmm.
go ahead and call that call the timeout to stop it as quickly as you can. And then if you get that second TV timeout, or the TV timeout comes out for the second timeout after that, then you can kind of squish them together pretty closely and really break up a run and give your guys some rest if they're getting tired.
Yeah.
But Coach Barnes doesn't. I don't know if that's just not the way he sees it. Or
has anybody ever asked him about that? An oppressor or, you know.
I feel like they have, and it's just kind of a game-to-game thing.
Well, what did you notice earlier when we were hanging out early when we were doing our short pre-prod meeting here about what question was it they asked him? And he just flat out didn't answer.
Oh, yeah. It was the second question Rob Lewis asked him about the rebounding disparity and all the offensive rebounds we gave up. And he just started talking about something else, which is not like him. Like, I don't know if he just misunderstood the question or if he just wanted to talk about instead, but he asked him about the rebounding, and Barnes starts talking about Mayshak driving the ball.
Hmm.
Like, it had nothing to do with
the question Rob asked him.
No.
That's the most dejected I've ever heard him sound.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think he sounded dejected. I thought he was very calm and measured and giving them credit. To me, he sounded dejected. What game was it? It was this year. We had lost. What was after the Vanderbilt game?
Would it have been
was Missouri, but that wasn't it. Hold on, I have to pull up the schedule. I thought he was actually pretty good last night, which I don't know. That might just make people.
Santee and Triple J broke my heart, man. I had to turn it off. Couldn't stand seeing him like that.
I didn't see any
bless
of that.
Their hearts.
Yeah, maybe it was the Missouri game, but there was one loss earlier where he was just sort of beside himself. Mm. Quick timeout. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. We'll go back to the phones when we continue right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell Bear and Marcus back with you, taking your phone calls today, 865-546-8200. Joey is in Kentucky. Good afternoon, Joey. You're on the drive.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Man, just picking up the pieces after another postseason collapse. You'd think we'd be used to it by
pretty,
now, Joey. It still stinks.
I'm pretty let down, man. I was pulling for you guys. I've got a Tennessee sweatshirt on sale at Belk's a couple of years ago, and I thought I'd put it on and wear it to work, and you guys got beat. I was just pretty bummed last night. I was kind of looking forward to calling in today and celebrating going to the Elite Eight, and that's unfortunately not the case.
Well, but, you don't get to wear your sweater. My lucky T-shirt saw its streak come to an end. The throwback unis saw their streak come to an end. I mean, nothing worked.
So, well, Russ, real quick, Joey, I got to jump in here. So Russ, should we expect to see you, like, at a wing joint sometime soon wearing that beautiful white shirt and just going to town on, like, some messy wings or eating spaghetti in it now that the mojo?
I mean, I'm not going to ruin it. I'm going to wash it and start a new streak next year.
All right. Go ahead, Joey.
Yeah, yesterday I teach middle school up here in Kentucky. I decided I was going to wear my Tennessee sweatshirt since UK was beat out. I thought, you know what, I want to wear my UK or my Tennessee shirt to work. And believe it or not, I didn't have too many students give me a hard time. I had one student, a big Duke fan. He's kind of pissed off because they, you know, you guys beat Duke. But of course, he rubbed it in today when since I got to school and had him in class, he had to rub it in a little bit. But I figured I'd get a lot more heck over that, but I was kind of surprised.
You know, I told Mark Nagy the loss to Michigan last year was more disappointing than the Sweet 16 loss
last
this
night.
Year,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Oh, heck
but
yeah, it was.
I think that
the most disappointing thing
about this season, on the whole, was not beating Kentucky at least once. That's like. Well, you talk about the things that stick in my craw about this year, not getting at least one win over those guys. That's the one that's the most disappointing thing to me. Really,
that would stink. Well, I watched you guys last night. I felt like I was watching Kentucky because both the teams seem so similar. I'm like, well, they're playing. You know, that's the way Kentucky would do. One game they could beat anybody, then the next game they couldn't. You know, beat anyone. It's just like, you know, but they were so inconsistent. That was the problem, I think.
I think the similarity was that Kentucky, like Tennessee, I mean, you had Wheeler, and then he got hurt. And then, you know, you had Cason Wallace, who was doing a pretty good job at point, but that's not Cason Wallace's natural position. He's always been a two. I know that because I watched several of his AAU games because he played with B.J. Edwards. And Edwards was the point, played point guard on that team. And, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're Kentucky. If you don't have a point guard in the tournament, you are not long for the tournament. And you see, I mean, Davey Hudson talks about it on VR all the time. We've talked about it and talked about it. And you saw it last night. Kansas State. They've got an elite point guard who's playing, just got super hot now that the tournament started, and they're probably going to go to the Final Four.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, similarities between the personnel, Tennessee and Kentucky this year, similarities with the coaches, I would say. Barnes and Calipari are both old school guys, man, and defense oriented, yep. And work their kids hard and hard on them, and they have similar frustrations this year.
Who are you guys pulling for now?
No one. Any? No.
Same boat. When the Kentucky got beat out, I was honestly pulling for you guys. I don't have a problem with Tennessee, but
no. Actually, Joey, I take that back. But you know who I'm rooting for? Everybody that plays Alabama from here on out.
Oh, yeah, screw them, yeah. That's the vibe I've gotten from a lot of people up here. It's basically the same vibe you guys have, is that I didn't have a problem with their basketball program because they never had a basketball program. But until now, until the Brandon Miller stuff, it's just ticked a lot of people off the way they handled the whole situation. Crappy.
Oh, Joey. Can't say that, buddy.
You guys got me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought couldn't hear me. 865-546-8200 if you want to chime in this afternoon on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Yeah, and I think the criticisms of Barnes and Calipari are very similar, right down to the whole insistence on playing big, two big guys. And I just – that's one of the things I would look at if I were Barnes. And listen, man, I'm not going to tell – I'm no coach, man. I don't know the X's and O's of the game. But I do know that it seems like it's a much more aesthetically pleasing to watch form of basketball when you're playing with four guards and one big. You're playing a little bit smaller, a little bit quicker. And, man, we just looked slow. All those loose balls, those rebounds, they're just bouncing around there. And we've got Urosh and Kamwa and Triple J, and they're just like lumbering compared to the Florida Atlantic guys. They're just water bugs getting to those loose balls, man. And I just wonder if we couldn't get a little bit quicker.
We could. They remind a lot of those guys last night flying around like that reminded me a lot of Vescovi when he would, because he's constantly coming up with rebounds, like, just because he's so dang quick and gets in there. He's a little guy, and the next thing you know, big guys look around, and there's Vescovi's, clearing it and got the ball. So,
Barry, you mentioned something that made me realize the true villain of this whole situation.
Who's that?
You.
Me? What'd I do?
You made Russell wear his white shirt on a Thursday.
It's true.
We broke the tradition. You've said it before, Russell. We're not superstitious, but we are a little stitious. And I think we broke the pattern, and that's what really happened here.
Yeah, why'd you
know what?
Do that
you know what, Marcus? I don't care. And had nothing. Russell's shirt had nothing to do with the fact that, Juroš Plošević decided to do a reenactment of the Hanson brothers from Slapshot. And that Russell wearing his T-shirt last night had nothing to do with the fact that Rick Barnes went into some fugue-like state in the middle of a 20-4 run and forgot that he was a head coach. And, hey, I've got these things called timeouts that I can call to try and break the other team's momentum.
You don't know that, Bear.
I wasn't the one.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I do. The craziest thing, I've been wanting to bring it up. I met a buddy of Reed's at the watch party at Craven Wings, which was a lot of fun. I hate that we're not going to get to do it again on Saturday. Highly recommend anybody that's just wanting to get out Saturday, go out there and get you some wings and cold beer. It's a lot of fun out there. But Reed's buddy Fred had an interesting theory, something that he had followed. When Olivier braids his hair down, like, I think this guy went back and looked the games where Olivier had his hair braided, he played worse than when he wore it normally.
I'll take your word for it. I've not been tracking that.
And I had a bad feeling last
night. The Rick Barnes bonus structure here in the postseason, and I can't tell you that Rick Barnes, now that the season is over, will be getting a $600,000 bonus for making the Sweet 16.
It's in his contract, dude.
$600,000, dude. Guy already made $5 million, $6 million, whatever it is. Extra $600 for making the Sweet 16.
I'm sure somewhere Miller and Philly's heads are exploding, right? Oh, God, I Coco! I gave my raise. No, it's a bonus.
It's about 10 times the national average salary.
It's Monopoly money, man. He's got a team that lives in the top 15. He sells out that arena every night, dude, or just about. He puts asses in seats with his basketball program.
Look, Bear, I'm not – you know me. I'm not calling for his head. I'm fine with him as our basketball coach. But come on, dude, that's friggin' ridiculous. I mean, Butch Jones, bonus like $10 million buyout, thinks that's stupid.
You give me a $600,000 bonus if I can make it through a whole year without screwing up anything?
A whole year? How about a whole show?
What if I haven't messed anything up today?
Oh.
Name one thing I screwed up today.
It's not my style to call attention to others' shortcomings.
No, it's not your style. It's not your style. It's what you base your whole persona on.
That is not true.
You're mean. So
mean. You're calling me mean. You are calling me mean. You don't think I'm nice enough. You think I treat people poorly.
All I'm saying, Russell, to quote your beautiful daughter.
You think I should maybe take other people's feelings into account before I open my mouth? You think that would be a better way to conduct myself professionally?
I feel like I do. I set a good example for you. Who have I been mean to outside of Kentucky? Joey, I don't have a problem with Joey. I know he's a Kentucky fan.
I'm pretty sure you've taken shots at pretty much all of our coworkers today.
Me.
Who? Name one besides Marcus.
Green out. Jake.
I mean, Jake's an idiot, Russ. Come on. He brings it on himself.
865-546-8200. The starting lineup for the baseball game is out. Tony's going back to his guys. Ahuna leading off. Moore second. Burke batting third. Denton in cleanup. Jared Dickey will start at catcher today.
Interesting.
Is batting fifth. Griffin Merritt is DHing, hitting sixth. Kavaris Tears in right again. Hunter Ensley gets the start in left. And Christian Scott starting in center field and hitting ninth.
Interesting.
Well, that outfield situation is driving him bonkers, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it intern Tucker, our newest intern here on the show, Russ, that you haven't met yet? He's my intern. You're covering the game tomorrow? Yeah?
That's correct.
Yeah, that's correct.
I don't even know if this Tucker person exists. You keep telling me about him. I've never met him. I've never heard him. It could be just
no.
Like
you can tell Russell you're my intern, correct, Tucker?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. You're not taking him over like you did Chloe.
How do I know that wasn't Marcus changing his voice?
Talk at the same time, guys.
Hello.
Marcus.
I'm just a really good actor, Russ.
You are a LARPer.
Not convinced.
I'm not. We're not going down this argument again.
I mean, you won't find any pictures of me play acting with lightsabers.
My friend was needing some help.
My friend was needing some help,
and
Russell.
So he asked to take some photos, and I was happy to be a part of it.
I was happy to be a LARPer.
He's not mean to his coworkers, though.
No, Mark. Not at all.
Stay with us. The drive continues. We'll find out who's on the docket. Time for a couple more of your phone calls. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200. Your number, 546-8200. Back to wrap things up right after this. The docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro Attorneys. Did you guys see the fight in the end of the Memphis and Bowling Green women's game this week?
Yes, I did. It was last night.
It was a very ugly scene after a game between the Bowling Green and Memphis women. Fight broke out in the post-game handshake line, and today Memphis guard Jamira Schutz has been charged with assault.
Yep.
For allegedly punching Bowling Green player Alyssa Brett as the two teams lined up for handshakes following the Falcons' third-round victory in the women's NIT Thursday night. Bowling Green University Police Department issuing a press release today confirming that Schutz, a fifth-year player, was charged after the, quote, unwarranted physical incident involving Brett at the conclusion of Bowling Green's 73-60 victory. He was caught on video. And
there's no alleged to it, Russell. I mean, she assaulted her. Eye in the sky doesn't lie.
Yeah, it's and we're starting to see, you know, you had this and the Michigan State thing in the football tunnel afterwards, where, you know, you're starting to see criminal charges being filed for things that happen in and or around sporting events.
It should have. And that kid from Alabama should have been charged with clocking that poor sorority, or, you know, that poor co-ed from Tennessee in the back of the head. Jermaine Burton.
Those post-game handshake lines, I mean, it's a miracle that Urosh got through 4 years here without an incident.
Well, we had that, what was it? It was Florida. We had the near dust up.
That was Ziegler.
Yeah.
Urosh was not involved in that one.
And Ziegler, I mean, he's always on the periphery, Russ. It's Urosh. But Ziegler informed that guy that he was friends with his mom.
Well, it's amazing you don't see more violence in those things, but not a good sign, not a good scene up there at Bowling Green last night. Meanwhile, seven law enforcement officers have sued rap artist Afro Man, accusing him of improperly using footage from a police raid on his Ohio home last year in his music videos. Are you familiar with the work of Afro Man, Bear?
Yeah, he best known for Because I Got High.
Oh,
Because I Got High.
I knew that sounded familiar.
Here's the kicker to it, unless you're getting ready to say it. It was an illegal search. Like, they were in the wrong. The cops were. And I guess he filmed them or something. Is that what the story is?
Well, the plaintiffs say the rapper, whose real name is Joseph Foreman.
Nice name, Joe Foreman.
Afro Man. Took footage of their faces obtained during the August 2022 raid and used it in music videos and social media posts without their consent. They say that has caused them, quote, emotional distress, embarrassment, ridicule, loss of reputation, and humiliation.
I would have thought it was going, you know, busting in somebody's house when you didn't have a reason to, a legit reason to.
Law enforcement officers were acting on a warrant that stated probable cause existed that drugs and drug paraphernalia would be found on Foreman's property and that trafficking and kidnapping had taken place there. Those suspicions turned out to be unfounded, though, and the raid failed to turn up probative criminal evidence. No charges were filed.
I could see why they'd suspect it. I mean, if your biggest hit is Because I Got High. Because I Got High. La, da, 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 da. Yeah. I don't know. People sue, too. We live in the most litigious society. Everybody's got to sue.
Litigious is a really nice word.
Yeah, you're surprised I pronounced it correctly, aren't you?
A little bit. That is The Docket, brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the car wreck pro attorneys. You can check them out online at foxandfarmer.com. Call for a free, no-obligation consultation to discuss your case today. 865-531-9400. That's 531-9400. They are online at foxandfarmer.com. Russell Bear and Marcus wrapping up a Friday afternoon edition of the show. Live today out at National Law Rex. Getting ready for big weekend. And we'll take a deep breath here, man. It's been a long basketball season.
I almost feel like we deserve a break.
We need well, you know, we got baseball coming up and everything. We'll be taking some time off, I'm sure, here in the next couple weeks and months and everything. And
yeah,
man, you're gonna blink. Enjoy the summer, folks. You're gonna blink, it's gonna be over, and we'll be kicking off football season before you know it.
Hype daddy. Wonder what he's cooking up in his laboratory right now.
Get Jamie in here next on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Good afternoon, Jamie. You're on the drive.
What up, Russ?
What's going on, man?
Well, here we are again.
Same old song and dance, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Russ, I hate it. You know, I hate that you subscribe to the theory of it's better to, you know, to be where we're at than to take the chance on going backwards, and that's how you get Butch Jones and Derek Dooley. I mean, I'm not comparing Barnes to him. I'm just saying you'll never realize the potential if you're willing to accept below the standard.
You know what, Jamie? I've got to stop you right there. I have to, man, because you know what got us Butch Jones and Derek Dooley and Jeremy Pruitt was the last time you guys wanted to run a Hall of Fame coach out of town because he'd kind of – kind of hit a plateau there towards the end of his career, and then we pushed him out, and it directly delivered us Lane Kiffin, Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, and Jeremy Pruitt, my man.
Did you think Fulmer still had something left in the bag?
I mean, at that time, I was still all in on the battle captain. I was a former sheep, dude.
I wasn't, Jamie. I was ready to see a change, but there's a lesson to be learned there, man. Just, you know, you have to think about these things through, and you say you're not comparing him to Butch and all those guys, but you kind of are if we're having the conversation we're having, and
let me elaborate. You guys are behind our leadership now. You guys are squarely behind Danny No Nugs, and you're behind Plowman, and you're behind Boyd. I mean, are you confident in him or not?
Yeah.
Okay. 100%. So what are you worried about? You don't think they'll go out and hire somebody comparable to what this program demands?
I don't think that they aren't going to they're not going to – Jamie, come on, man. They're going to move on Rick Barnes.
No, I'm just saying, Jamie, the reason why – go ahead, Bruce.
I'm not 100% confident. I think they're doing well, but they're human beings, yeah. And human beings make mistakes. And hiring winning coaches, championship coaches, is really difficult. And I said earlier, yes, there is a part of me that's very curious is, you know, if Rick Barnes retired now and Danny White was able to go out there and hire a basketball coach, yeah, I'm curious to know what kind of coach he would hire. But if you don't think it's a gamble, if you think it's some sort of slam dunk that we're going to improve our postseason success under a new basketball coach, you're crazy. It's a huge gamble.
I don't share the same exact level of confidence in that leadership that you do. I still think they're some of the best we've had in the last 20 years. I'd like to think that we're one of those programs now that if Barnes did decide to retire and we hired a coach that wasn't comparable, that we would move on. And you know, one thing that's kept us alive these last 20 years is if we haven't been successful in something, at least we've had a damn good coaching search. And those are always fun.
Yeah, but Jamie, to your point, I mean, Arkansas had a home run hiring Eric Musselman, and we haven't talked about it the whole show. Would you rather be Arkansas? And they've gotten a 35 burger. How much did – what did they end up getting beat by?
They got smashed.
It's like 17. It's like 17, but I feel where you're coming from. I mean, how long has Musselman been down there? Is it 3 years? Is it more than that?
Five.
It's three. Five?
Five.
Five, according to my intern.
So he's been there – he's gotten two Sweet 16s out of it?
Two Elite Eights and a Sweet 16.
Then I would like to have Eric Musselman, please.
Oh, you'd be going crazy if Barnes had made two Elite Eights of Sweet 16, if Tennessee got beat by 35 in the round of 16, you would be going
crazy. No, because you'd have a psych. Bruce Pearl got blowed out by Michigan in his last game as a volunteer, and you know my love for him.
Jamie, that doesn't
fit me.
What if Jamie is advising Danny White, like what do you want to see happen here?
I mean, you can't fire Rick Barnes. You know, the guy's winning 25 games a year. You can't fire the guy, and you don't have $20 million anyway. But I would say, dude, listen, here's the thing. Your defense is championship level. Your offense is pathetic. You need to change something. You need to show me what you're going to do. Next year, we got to see some movement. There's really no reason to floor a championship defense if you're not going to bother to play offense, if you're not going to bother to get your other point guard on the floor and get him ready. You know, it seemed like our whole offensive identity last night was to feed it to the guy who's the most offensively challenged, and stand around and look at him. Like you say, Russ, in the next game, my coach will be my first, but I watch a lot, and that doesn't make much sense to me. We didn't make Florida Atlantic move enough. We didn't make them wear themselves out like they wore us out with their ball movement. And, I mean, you know, we saw what championship defense can do for you when you don't have enough offense. It, you know, like you said, when we were down 7 points with 6 minutes to go, it felt like we were down, you know, 18. That's a hard hill for this Barnes-led pro team to climb. So, yeah, I'm not going to say it was, you know, he's had years where our offense has been good, so I'm not going to say program. But this year was pathetic. The defense was amazing. The offense was pathetic. You got, you know, if I'm Danny, I said, dude, you got to show me what you're going to do on offense. You know, we appreciate what you do here, but man, we'd really like for you to do something in March, especially since you're one of the top five highest paid coaches. How's that? Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Danny White's process is. You know, usually in these things, you have an end of the year review. You know, whether the season went well or poorly. You know, I guess he probably has one of those things with Coach Barnes. I don't know how comfortable a younger guy like Danny White is with pressing a guy who's 68 and is, you know, the experience that Coach Barnes has. I don't know. That's interesting. I would love to know the answer to those questions. We probably never will. But Barnes has to know that the offense was not good this year. It's got to frustrate him more than it does us. And I don't think that he's going to just, oh, well, you know, Ziegler got hurt. Triple J was banged up. It's fine. I'm sure he'll take a look at things this offseason.
Maybe that's a conversation not best held officially by the athletic director. Maybe that's something like the handlers over there. Maybe the big time boosters. I don't know. I don't know how that works over there. I'm not even going to pretend to know. But I'll just say, at $250,000 a win this year, I don't think we got our money's worth. Y'all hang in there. Hmm.
Well, how about that? I mean, is it too naive to say that maybe you just trust Coach Barnes to get together with his staff, Ganey, Clark, and Polinsky, and review what happened and make a couple of changes, a couple of tweaks, do things a little bit differently? I mean, who's going to step in and tell him this is what you need to do?
Could you imagine? Even I couldn't imagine.
Some business guy, some booster, going to sit Rick Barnes and explain a few things to him? I mean, come on.
I mean, how long is that conversation going to last? Not long.
It stinks, man. I get it. It's just losing the NCAA tournament is never fun. This is a hard season to quantify. It really is. I mean, I feel like last season was more disappointing because we had the great elite point guard play that we've been lacking for so long. Oh. That team should have gone further.
Hell yeah, last year's team, much better. I mean, that's a Final Four caliber team. That was a team that we could have cut the nets down last year. Because you know why? We had one of the best point guards in the country in Kennedy Chandler. And Zakai Ziegler is a madman when you pair him with an elite point guard and he can play off ball and just wreak complete havoc. That's why I'm hoping, whether it be Edwards or somebody, you know, one of these guys are bringing in to get back to that, because Zakai's most dangerous to me when he's playing, you know, coming six man off the bench and doing his thing, causing chaos.
Well, folks, it's been a wild week here on The Drive. We appreciate all of you for tuning in. We're going to take a couple of days here on the weekend, and we'll be back at it Monday. Break things down. See if Tony Vitello and the baseballs can get things rolling here tonight. Marcus, thank you.
Thank you, Russ.
Thank you, Russ.
Overtime headed your way next on many of these fan-run affiliates. Thanks to National RX for having us out this afternoon. Have a great weekend. We'll do it again Monday here on Fan Run Radio.